Fourthly, he was a person who whose personal vanities turned him into what you might psychologically call, or psychoanalytically call, an exhibitionist. Even before we started our movement, he used to parade himself in a national costume. In pastel shades of, you know, mostly effeminate. His choices. His wearing a national costume was particularly bohemian, shall I say, because he was on the Singhalese in the first place.
Oh.
He turned his zilla with a Z.
Oh, yeah.
He came from a family in Nigambo. And they were from a bourgeois family at that.
What?
Now, we all knew him personally, and we knew him to be a totally uncontrollable person, who was law unto himself. He was the one person that we would never consider admitting into party membership because he could never be under party discipline. He had any stingy liability to go to hell and walk out. He was also, by the time before we met him, or at the time we met him, what you might call an individual pamphleteer, who would write some attack on somebody, print his own expense, go about handing it to people he met. So this was just another person that the Marxist movement could use.
Did he write anything for you?
I wrote for him.
Oh.
His name. Some of the deadliest things he's written, oh, his name is written by me, because I wrote everybody, for everybody at the time. And there are many other Surya Mal leaflets have appeared under his name.
Now, let me ask you a personal question. Why didn't you project yourself forward more, that is to say, try and contest the seat or something like that? Why have you consciously, unconsciously, or purpose taken a second run?
That is a question worth answering. Not an explanation of myself, but an explanation of the inner mechanics. Firstly, of Marxist movement, and secondly, the general political background and so on. Where, as a personal explanation, I have to say two or three things. Firstly, I have been the general secretary of the Marxist Party from its inception in 1935. Till 1939, inclusive. And I can tell you, I have not presided at a single meeting, either of the Samaj Samaj Party or of any ancillary activity of the Samaj Samaj movement. I was never asked, nor did I worry about it, because I was a dedicated person to a cause at that time. I'm saying this because subsequent to my time, I might also have an identity that I often put up to present at meetings. There are other things that I accepted at that time, that at a meeting in those days, people wanted as well-known or a big name was going to draw them to the meeting. So, actually, it was the people who had land and in short, bourgeois influence, who were at the head of the anti-bourgeois movement. I can tell you this, that I used to write articles to newspapers, I could never get them published. Then I devised myself a method of getting printed and getting paid by Lake House. And I remember a series of articles, Lake House and other newspapers. Sorry, it may not be Lake House. Bourgeois newspapers. I had to write a number of articles, Leslie Gunawardhan's name. They got printed and I was paid by check in Leslie Gunawardhan's name, which he endorsed and handed over to me. Because Leslie Gunawardhan was reputed to be a rich man, whose father was a capitalist, and a Christian, acceptable. As Tari, of course, is possible, but preferably to us. So anyway, to come back to this, the personal explanation of part of personal explanation is this, that I was myself in a position to accept that you've got to do things, they call it practical, and this is how things work. Anyway, nobody bothered to play me up and to produce that acceptability, which could have been done for a party secretary in 8 years. But I was not bothered because I was not on the make. I was a law student, then I in 1935 became a proctor, and I had my independent position, which I still hold. The other point in answer to your question is, the second part of the answer to your question is that those of us who were dedicated to this movement thought that the best way to advance this movement was by putting forward people who, for non-libertarian reasons or non-revolutionary reasons, were acceptable and would command a hearing in the mass. But it would appear now, in retrospect, that this spirit of dedication did not and could not bring political gains for individuals outside the actual capitalist class in the revolutionary movement, and with which I was not personally concerned at any stage. Apart from that, it was mistaken, because it has resulted in a capitalist movement that up to date is dominated, after 35 years from its inception, still by people who are holding leadership of the revolutionary cadres by virtue of their capitalist holdings.
Of the revolutionary
cadres by virtue of their capitalist holdings. The left movement had up to date, after 35 years, still not produced a single truly proletarian leader.
Mm-hmm. M.G. Mendes is not a lower middle class?
He is lower middle class, practically working class, if you take his family and his associates, near people. But surely he is not a leader. Mm-hmm. He is one of the people put up as a facade of proletarianism by the Marxists, by the Communist Party.
He has no special ability or personality?
No, he's subnormal mentally. I know him very well. He was a joint secretary, or he was a secretary to me for 2 or 3 years. Mentally, he's subnormal.
Mm-hmm. Taking some of the sort of early lesser known. You haven't still finished your.
Return Silver.
No, you still haven't finished.
An explanation regarding the.
Your. Sort of staying in the background. And I noticed, for instance, that in LSSP history, your name is only mentioned once.
Yes, all those LSSP histories are written after I left. LSSP, firstly, and it is in the pattern of Marxist history. You see that they speak to a face, the person who is no longer with them. If anybody could write the history of my own, for those years it would be my children. There are no records and most of them carry in my head the facts. The reason for the failure of the movement, say, shall we say, to build me up.
How can one be a socialist and yet seek government favor? Or seek to tie oneself to the government?
Yes. Really, there were two things about this. trusting, not trusting the member of the original secret organization, had the slightest regard and respect for any prayer because of this fact. But we were ready to concede that a man also may have his personal, everybody has in the same degree of readiness to sacrifice for cause. And we also thought, well, it may be useful to have a person, undisclosed member, in some position of any kind in some service. But of course, we, all the time we underlined the fact that he was interested in himself in the first place.
So it was not till the 36th election that N.N. Pereira came into the open as a Sampradayist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can tell you this, that is always a problem in the Sampradayist movement, which now I see in retrospect now that I left it. As to who is making use of whom? Is the individual making use of the party or the party making use of the individual? Each side is satisfied that they are getting the wet proxy transaction.
And to bring up some more obscure figures like Roy Dimell and Robin Ratnam, how would you present them?
They were just radicals. I can tell you this, without much brains, I get a nice story that will explain the entire position. I think Roy Dimell was a scholarship man who went to England. And there, he just joined a group called the anti-examination group. He didn't sit for his exam. He just came back, he had to be a teacher, a secondary teacher in a secondary school.
So in that sense, he would have been suffering from some sort of frustration and conflict?
No, you know, an Irish, you know, against the government.
In fact, when I sort of bring up names, I would be interested in knowing what class bracket they fall into. And, you know, and this question of this, what sort of ideas they have.
You asked me about my prayer. Did you mention it? Yes, we didn't. Catch up. Now, he's a radical, he's a good fellow. And he had just that vague, urge to do good. And he didn't really belong to the political bourgeoisie. Though he did, in a big way. Economic bourgeoisie.
Upper middle class?
No, still higher up. See? A very rich man, married a very rich woman. But he was of Karabi caste. And then he was under one circumstance or another, a man seeking change. Then, being a man of thoroughly nebulous intellectual abilities and desires.
Nebulous.
He was preeminently a person who adopted as a fellow traveller.
A party member too?
He joined the youth movement, then he joined the Surya Bar movement. I think he ultimately joined the Samaj Party. Mm-hmm. But by the time we had broadened out, once we left the secret stage, we broadened out into mass membership.
Mm-hmm. Robin Ratnam? Jim Ratnam?
Jim Ratnam, you know, figure in this. Robin Ratnam. Mm-hmm. That entirely two differences to Ratnam. Jim Ratnam may have been in the youth movement, which starting from the early northern section. Mm-hmm. J.T. Ratnam, you're talking about. Robin Ratnam was just a radical, intellectual radical. I think he inherited that from his mother, Dr. Mrs. Ratnam, who is an American woman, I think.
What about people like Big Fernando, Dalija Warner?
Dalija Warner was originally one of these sidekicks of a Mr. Clare in particular, he handled the printing of Maranayake's own paper.
When did Maranayake start?
In Singhala Mahasabha. Because he was also a man in this Mahajana movement, Mahajana Sabha movement.
And he was in the newspaper already itself. Yeah, he's known. Sorry, no. And one of those definitely inferior persons that Mr. Maranayake always sought for his personal companionship.
Did you find him? Your printer?
No, he was a proctor. He was and he is a proctor.
With he had, we were very close to the lowest level of Sinhalese understanding. A thoroughly out of date man, but he had extraordinarily read independently and had Marxist leanings. So he had an unrivaled knowledge of Sinhalese. And we began to use him for editing our English paper.
What do you mean by lowest level of English understanding?
I mean, he understood the lowest levels of English psychology. Mm-hmm. He was also a different caste person. He is also.
J.C.T. Kothalavala, Reggie Senanayake. Edmund Samarkoli. Edmund Samarkoli?
Yes. Edmund Samarkoli is noteworthy. That means the only close connection of Mr. D.S. Senanayake and the left movement is captured.
Family connection?
Yes. He comes from the same stock as Mr. Tabladi Maranayake of the Lokatra Sinhalese feudal leaders. His brother Siripala Samarakudi had married Eppara Senanayake's daughter. Was already in Mr. Senanayake's politics, the brother I mean. At the time Edmund Samarakudi joined the Samaswamy party. As party secretary and party propagandist and the man working 24 hours a day, was the principal party member, discovering new talent and new people. And Samarakudi, one of the people I found.
Yeah, but how did you bring people into the party?
Yes, I will tell you. So, you know, one meets people. One goes within the law college or within the university or within actually within a living. One listens to people talk, one gets an idea, somebody has got a radical mind, somebody says something, one pursues. Then one cultivates. Then one reports to the party. Then people have a certain under observation. Then we, without even knowing it, we put him through a tremendous apprenticeship. Now Samarakudi's case, particularly because of his social origins, I put him through a most difficult period of apprenticeship. Getting him to do fact for me, do all sorts of odd party jobs. Till I was able to report that the man was good.
Mm-hmm. Is he not admitted into the party till he is passed this probationary period?
Oh, yes. Until...
Not before?
No. Until in those days. Mm-hmm. We'll be selecting people. Very important party people had to okay. So, I used to put him through the most rigorous party tasks. See, to ensure, because we were always worried about spies entering the movement.
long I could join after most rigorous period of testing. I can tell you just an anecdote that it was the time of the Reichstag fire trials. You know, not the it was the Reichstag fire trials. Van der Lubbe was the Dutch, you know, fall guy for this thing. And this boy was very interested in this thing and reading up. And one day when I went there to see his house, he was prostrate. So I said, "What's the matter with you?" He says, "They're going to hang you and the Lubbe. Do you fall guilty?" So the man was, you know, up to the marrow in this business. And he was admitted. Of course, unlike, he's always kept down also for the earlier reasons of proprietorship and fear of competition, especially because of his social origins.
And what about his intellectual caliber?
Well, I know nothing very special about him. Anyway, he had something in him, he was quite well as a proctor also, you see. But the proctor he became, he lost to him. But I think, after he got into parliament and things like that, there was a reaction to a certain extent and of the, his past connections with the party, and he must have himself wondered why he is not the equal of the others. But personally I think he is intellectually inferior to some of the leaders with whom he has been broken. Then regarding but this much I can say, he is a dedicated person who has never wavered about his stand, he has never sought to go back to his class, who would have welcomed him as a renegade. Ramana Kuri going back to the Dhyasena, going to Dhyasena, he would have been a tremendous moral victory and a moral, for him, a moral defeat for the Marxist movement, the Marxist ruler Marcus. Then you wanted to know about Kotalal. Kotalal came into this movement. He was a young man from Bajula, great ancestral properties are. His father was the first cousin of Sir John Kotalal. And as a law student in Kalambu, he was one of those people who reacted as radical youth should have and did to the stirring events of the 30s. And there too I came in contact with him as a law student. And he went through the usual, you know, investigations and apprenticeship and newly admitted into the party. Throughout his throughout my stay in the party, it had always been a struggle for Jack Kotalal in the long debates that took place on the ideological and theoretical questions between two groups headed on the one side by Philip and the one side by Coleridge. And he was a man who, he was very, you know, he had the sagacity and the cunning of the Senanayakas and people like that himself. And I remember often when asked for his opinion at the end of a long and a bitter controversy, he used to say, "Philip is right, and Colvin is also right."
A fence study.
Pardon?
Studying the fence.
Yeah. So, like that, he has managed to get on with the majority group always. He's a leading lawyer at Vajula. Mm-hmm. He's a leading, not leading, he's a base of the LSSP in Uwa. There again,
started with the pseudo-radicalism, which is also my party of today, contributes to the political situation. And now added to that, the feudal component that Mr. Bandaranaike adds. You see, all adds up to a parliamentary majority.